Hi, my name is Christian.
And I'm Jose.
And this is Coffee Break,
a podcast about all things coffee.
Before we get today's show started, we just want to remind everyone to go to the Instagram page at coffee.break.podcast. Or if you'd prefer to contact us via email, you can contact us at coffeebreaktexas@gmail.com.
So for today, now that we've finished our Beans for Beginners series, we're going to be getting into a more casual discussion. Something that I've been dying to do is ask Christian about his espresso machine. Since we started this podcast, Christian actually got a new espresso machine, a pretty fancy one, to be honest with you. And I've been wanting to ask him on the podcast how he's doing with that and how he's coming along and what he's learned so far, and kind of just share with y'all what we've learned in the past year or so that we've been working on our espresso a little bit more. So Christian, let me ask you a couple of questions. So the first question is going to be about your old espresso machine. What machine did you have?
Yeah, so I had to look this up because I didn't exactly know the model, but it was a Breville ESP8XL. So if you're familiar with some of the espresso machines out there, some folks have probably seen that one, you know, at like a Sur La Table or some of the other places that sell these types of machines. So it wasn't an entry level espresso machine. It was roughly $200-$250, and that was actually a present from my wife so many years ago, maybe around 5 or 6 years ago. So I've had it around for a while. It was a good machine for the time that I had it. It was just high quality in terms of its build, but I didn't necessarily make a whole lot of time for it. But anyway, so yeah, that's the machine that I had.
So were you using it a lot?
I was early on. Yeah, I was using it at least every day, once a day, or maybe like every other day, something like that, for the first couple of years. And then as like my master's in engineering work got more intense, made less time for that. And then of course with the MBA here, it's the same thing. But the amount of time I'd spent on it, you know, the last couple of years was probably just on the weekends, like Saturday morning when I first wake up, or not when I first wake up, but when other people in the house are awake and it's okay to kind of make a little bit of extra noise in the morning, and then Sundays. But yeah, lately, not quite so much.
Gotcha. So how long did you have it?
Yeah, about 5 years, 5-6 years.
Okay. How about your grinder? I mean, you know, did you have a good grinder to go along with that espresso machine, or?
Oh man, I had a few different grinders, and initially I had a blade grinder. I had a couple of blade grinders. So one was, I think it was like a Mr. Coffee blade grinder that we had bought from Target, which was decent. But being a blade grinder, it was kind of difficult to get the right grind size. You get a fair amount of variation in the different particles. So that was rough. And then I eventually came around to buying a burr grinder, but I started off getting a hand grinder. So it would take forever, at least for me. It took me forever to grind enough coffee for my espresso machine. That was a little that was very inconvenient. Not a little inconvenient, but it was very inconvenient. So I didn't do that quite that often. And then ultimately bought like an electric burr grinder. That was helpful. But the whole process of like taking all that stuff out of the cabinet, which, you know, sounds minor. But when you had to do that quite often, it kind of took away from the fun of making coffee. So yeah, I did have a grinder or a few grinders, kind of had to work through a few different ones. And now, you know, the story we'll talk about the new machine here in a bit.
I can imagine. I've never had a blade grinder, but I've used one before. And I can imagine how difficult it would be to make espresso on that, just because it's kind of a trial and error, right? You just grind for a long time until you get to like a consistency that you're like, yeah, this looks good enough. But I don't think you're going to be pulling a consistent shot, right?
Yeah, the shots were pretty inconsistent. And the thing with at least one of the, let's say, issues with the blade grinder is You're right. You have to sit there and grind for a really long time. And you might have some amount of those grounds that are appropriate-ish for espresso. But then there's also a good chunk of them that are maybe a bit too large or a bit too fine, right? So that spread is just huge, at least as I've experienced it. So it was kind of difficult to have a consistent shot. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was still good coffee to some degree. It wasn't like the best espresso that I've ever had, but it was better than some other options. So it wasn't too terrible.
Okay, that's cool. And the hand grinder just took way too long. So you would get better consistency, but just it was a really long grind. Especially going that fine, right?
Right, yeah. Especially for the fineness that you have to do for espresso. I mean, you and I have both experienced it, right? With using hand grinders at work and how long that takes. And, you know, for doing this at home, when I'm trying to make my coffee, say Sunday morning, something along those lines, I want it to be relatively chill. But doing it with a hand grinder was like starting the morning with a workout, which, you know, some people are into. Not for me personally, but it got the job done.
Okay, so how about now? What do you have?
So for my birthday this year, my wife bought me the Breville dual boiler espresso machine, which is, I mean, not just one level difference from the ESP8 XL that I was just talking about. It's a huge difference in terms of its not just size, but also its capabilities. So, and this is coupled with a stand grinder, an electric grinder with a hopper and all that stuff, which is also relatively expensive. But these two things put together definitely helped me get back into making espresso. So I do it 2-3 times a day now. There is that convenience factor and also the consistency. It does help.
So what have you been learning now that you have arguably much better setup?
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned it a bit in the intro. I have been working on dialing in the various beans that I've been dealing with. So that has been an interesting experience to learn from. And I guess the changes in temperature I've been playing around with as well. There's a lot of different factors that I think I should probably be slowing down in the variables that I'm dealing with. But it's also kind of just for fun. So I'm learning a decent amount about texturing milk. So that's been fun. I know that's something that we used to try with our more entry-level espresso machines so many years ago. Just trying to learn the fun part of making like latte art. And the steam wand on this dual boiler is a huge difference, I would say, from the ESP8 XL that I had. Or maybe that's just in my head because this new espresso machine is quite a bit more expensive. But I do feel like there's a difference in how quickly or how easily I can texture milk compared to the previous one. Yeah, it's about that so far. I'm sure there's more to learn.
Yeah, so you want to talk a little bit more about, like, you know, the texturing of the milk and what you've learned so far? How's that coming along?
Yeah, there's so many tutorial videos, and you and I have watched them and shared them with each other along with Danny and other friends about how to texture milk. I think you kind of have to, or at least what I did was I approached the limits of whatever variable, temperature or amount of air being incorporated, all that stuff, just to see, right? You might watch a video, or at least I saw the videos and I thought, okay, yeah, that's cool. Let me try it this way. And trying to follow their technique exactly as it was being presented, while helpful, it wasn't always easy because, you know, the people who were making those videos had a better understanding of what each of these variables do to the milk. Whereas I've just been learning, and it helped to get to the point where I've put too much air or not enough air or made it too hot or not hot enough to kind of play with those limits to see what happens to the milk. And then, through those experiences, I've been able to texture a bit better. I haven't gotten to your level, Jose, of making latte art. You did a really great set of hearts in your podcast, or sorry, the Instagram post recently. I thought that was really good. So you've clearly improved as well. But yeah, that's I think that's one thing that I would take from it is, you know, testing out the limits of each of the variables for texturing milk and seeing or learning from it.
that's a year of experimenting for me, man.
So no, it's no joke to make latte art. I mean, you know, all these baristas can make them relatively easy now, but they've had to make X number of shots, maybe thousands or hundreds of lattes to get that experience. So
yeah, we'll get into it a little bit, but I just don't do it often enough to really like come up to speed fast. But would you say your milk texturing is kind of where you want it to be now? Is it pouring a lot better, or
I think I'm better for sure. Is it where I want to be? I don't think so. I'm sure there's still more technique. Also, we've talked about how the gear or the equipment that you use can make a difference in how you texture or pour milk as well. So that's something I haven't played with. I've just been playing with the quote unquote stock Breville. So there's probably more I can do, and it's not necessarily something I'm not spending hours texturing milk, right? Because I don't have the time for that. But over months of making a couple of espressos a day just because I want to drink them and then adding or making them into lattes, I'm sure I'll get there.
Yeah, it'll just take a little bit of practice. So how often are you making espresso then?
Most days it's at least two. So
two a day. Wow.
I'm jealous. Yeah, so I start my morning off at about 4 or 5. So I need a little bit of coffee to keep me going. But usually in the morning, I just have a cold brew because most people are asleep in my house at, 4 a.m. No one wants to hear that grinder going off, even though it's a lot quieter now than previous grinders. But say late morning, I'll have my first espresso-based drink, whether that's a latte or just like a shot of espresso. And then again in the afternoon. And then if I have like case studies to do, I'll do another kind of late at night as well.
So nowadays, aside from the latte art, what else are you working on improving? I guess it's your espresso shot where you want it to be, or kind of what are you learning from that?
I think the shot can be improved. I've had the same beans, same type of beans for the last 4 to 5 weeks. I just bought a really big bag, which I think I mentioned in a previous episode that might've been a mistake. So here in the next couple of weeks, I'll buy a new smaller bag of coffee, get that dialed in, and then play around with the temperatures and maybe the infusion and all these things to see where that gets me. But no, I don't think the shot is where I want it to be. I feel like more often than not, I'm getting very, not very sour, but sour shots. And I haven't really done much analysis on that just yet, but that's kind of what my experience has been for the last few weeks.
We're going to give you a pop quiz right now. So if sure. Your shot's sour, what does that mean?
It's under extracted.
Yeah. So either...
But what does that mean, Jose?
It can be a variety of things, right? It could be your coarse is too... Sorry, your grind is too coarse, or your temperature's too low, anything like that, right? Or you're not using enough grounds, you have channeling and all those kinds of things. On your espresso. So
one thing I wonder about is, as you're depending on how you store your beans, right? I think I haven't really looked it up, but have you heard or read anything about how beans over time might change so that you have to change those parameters?
Yeah, I've experienced it myself. I got a fairly fresh bean because my trade subscription, that's how I get my espresso beans, which are not really espresso beans. I just get medium roasted beans. And when I get it, they've been roasted for only a few days. Now, technically, for espresso, you kind of have to wait a little bit longer in order to pull a good espresso shot. There's a peak freshness for espresso beans, and it's I think after 7 days. So I'll try them right away when I get them, and you'll get something different. And then I'll try them a week later when I make espresso again, and I'll get something completely different. Yeah, I got to mess with the grind size and all that. So yeah, you kind of got to play around with it.
I think that's when you've approached like master level espresso making is when you can anticipate those changes in the beans and, adjust your parameters and get more or less a similar shot.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you say is your favorite gadget right now?
My favorite gadgets. I really like the grinder. I think because of how much control I have now, I'm enjoying like playing around with it. Of course, because I'm primarily playing with espresso shots, I'm only staying in like one section of that spectrum of grind sizes, but I'm enjoying just using it and how convenient it is. And then here, probably in the next few weeks, I'll probably start making a little bit of cold brew. So I'll use the more coarse end of that spectrum and see how this grinder, I'm sure it'll do well. I haven't really read anything that would suggest this one is, you know, better in one end of the spectrum versus another, but it'll be interesting to finally grind, you know, a large amount of coffee beans for cold brew and see how that turns out. So that's something that I've enjoyed lately.
Yeah. And the grinder, we actually have the same one, right? We both have the Smart Grinder Pro. And I really like that grinder too. I think you kind of cheated. I guess I wouldn't consider that an accessory. That's kind of an essential.
Oh,
I guess as far as like gadgets, like a little accessory for your espresso, what would you say is your favorite one?
I actually don't have any gadgets at the moment. So I really just have the stock gadgets that come with the espresso machine, the dual boiler. So nothing at the moment that I feel like is noteworthy, but I'm really interested in getting the same kind of tampener that you have. I've seen it in quite a few, say, cafe vlogs that are on YouTube, especially the ones in Korea. They tend to use that one quite often. So I'd like to get one of those as well. So I don't have it at the moment, but I'm sure when I get it, it'll be my favorite gadget.
Yeah, you haven't gone down that that rabbit hole of buying a bunch of gadgets, so that's good. I'm like not too deep into it either, but we'll get into that in just a second. Right. All right. And out of all the gadgets you have, which one would you say is overrated? I guess you don't have a lot, so maybe you don't have an overrated gadget.
Not related to the espresso machine. And I think the only general coffee gadget that is overrated, in my opinion, is something we talked about in a previous episode. It was like a portable espresso machine, which is like a little handheld capsule that you put, I don't know, a very small amount of water in. And it gave you like, let's say half of a like bottle cap almost, or actually like a bottle cap amount of espresso. But, you know, you could use it. It was cool to use and you could use it like on the road. It was just interesting. It wasn't
so little.
Yeah, well, maybe it was more than that, but it was so small that it wasn't really helpful, right? Like if you're looking to make a cup of coffee or something along those lines, or even make some sort of like espresso-based drink, it wasn't enough to do anything with, but it was cool. So
it was like a single shot, I would guess?
No, it was like half of a single shot.
Yeah, that's way too little.
It was tiny. Anyway, so, you know, we talked about my gadgets or my espresso machines quite a bit here. I think it's time we talk about yours. Have you had just one previous espresso machine or?
I have not. I had a cheap one and I have the one I have right now, which isn't on the same level as yours. So it's not as exciting.
Well, you know, just because I have the machine doesn't mean that I use it to its full potential, right? You're able to pull probably better shots and make better latte art with your machine, so not that I'm really benefiting from mine. So what did you have before?
So mine I had acquired through a rewards program at work, and they gave us a bunch of stuff that you could go shopping for. The one I had was called the Capresso EC100. Okay. It was a really small machine. It just had like a little knob that you turned either to pull an espresso shot or to generate steam. I was, and I think, you know, it just had a little like pressurized basket. It was it was good for learning and trying. I don't think I was pulling any decent shots out of that. The grinder that I had at that time was not bad. It was a Mr. Coffee burr mill grinder that I used for a bunch of other things, and I could get pretty fine with it, so the shots weren't necessarily bad. The milk texturing, however, that was pretty terrible. I ended up with really bubbly milk. The steam one isn't long enough. It's not designed for latte art, right? It's designed more for aerating your milk, right? And just kind of that. And you end up with a frothy cappuccino style thing.
Which people enjoy, but Yeah, that's not quite the level of making latte art as we talked about previously. So
right, and I had tried at some point. Right, I didn't really delve too deep into it. So I don't know if I ever used the proper technique to try to texture the milk. But at that time, I just kept seeing all these videos, and I always wanted one of those nicer machines that I would that I would see in the videos. And, you know, we would go to like the stores around here, and I would see like the really nice espresso machines, and I always wanted one of those. So
yeah, like the probably the a very common commercial or thing that we see in these videos is they take a shot of the espresso or the shot being pulled from underneath, and then you see like the crema forming around the so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and for some reason I have not made it a point to buy transparent glasses, or you know, the glass espresso glasses.
Yeah,
so I can't really see that happening nowadays, but man, that looks beautiful.
I'll keep that in mind. Maybe we'll get you one for Christmas. So did you use it a lot, your machine?
Not very much. Yeah. I would randomly pull it out, and I would be like, hey, I'm going to leave it out. I need to be using this a lot more. And then I would leave it out for like a week, and then we would kind of get sick of having it on the countertop, and we were like, yeah, let's put it away again. and then it would be months. I mean, man, if I said that we used it more than three times a year, I'd probably be overestimating.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was very little.
That's interesting. I think partly it's the not having like a permanent space for it. So you and I now, maybe because we're dads, we're older, we have spaces and we have coffee, you know, areas in our kitchen. But probably similar to you in the past, I was also putting mine up in a cabinet and, you know, having to take it out every so often.
So yeah, keeping it in plain sight really does help, right? You don't forget about it, and it's a constant reminder. And honestly, having a machine that's a little nicer helps keeping you excited about making it over and over. And also, there's more online support for all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of videos that I've watched specific to my general type of machine that I've learned a lot from. Whereas for the other machine, I had no idea what I had. I had to Google it now.
Yeah, it wouldn't be impossible to make a good shot from like a more entry-level espresso machine or to texture milk better. But it would just take a lot more practice, which for us at the time, you know, we were in the middle of our careers in engineering, so it wasn't easy to find that kind of time. Not that it's any easier today.
Yeah.
So how long did you have that previous one?
I had it, I want to say, for about 7 years.
Wow.
Now you can do the math, right? I used it a max of three times a year. For 7 years, I pulled 21 shots of espresso max on that thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's probably, I mean, for the previous machine that I talked about earlier that I had, I was probably on the order of like less than 100 shots pulled, no more than 200 for sure, over, you know, however many years, 5 years, I think I said. So that might be why when we came into these new machines, we were maybe better off in terms of the amount of experience, but still not to the point where we're like really benefiting from their capabilities. So,
yeah, okay. I mean, I knew the process, right? I knew like, okay, I'm supposed to tamp, I'm supposed to do all that. But there was a lot of learning there too, you know, with how to tamp properly and all those things. So,
yeah, for sure. Okay, so what machine do you have now?
So, I'll kind of tell the story. So last year for my birthday, my parents gave me a little bit of money for my birthday, and then I also had some gift cards that I had acquired from Amazon. So it just kind of added up to the right amount. And you know, I've always been eyeing it, but I've never made it a priority to go buy an espresso machine. So I finally went out and bought it. I specifically got the Breville infuser. And there is another machine from Breville called the Barista Express. And the reason I went with the infuser is because in my head, I guess the biggest difference between the Barista Express and the infuser is that the Barista Express comes with a grinder. And the infuser doesn't come with a grinder, but I think the mechanics inside are very similar for the two machines. So I already had a grinder, and I was thinking, well, I don't need to be grinding specifically for espresso only. I need a machine that's versatile and that I can also grind for AeroPress, for Mocha Pot, and for the drip machine. And so that's why I decided that I was just going to keep my current grinder, save $100, and get the infuser. Lo and behold, I'm pulling my first few shots on my first on the machine when I got it, and my grinder goes out. And I'm like, well, this is a crazy coincidence. I don't know. Maybe I just tweaked a few things here and there to mess it up. No, I'm just kidding. But it was so coincidental that it broke at the same time. So I decided to go for the Smart Grinder Pro, which was going to be my next upgrade, but I wasn't planning on dropping $200 on a grinder at that time, right? But it was one of those things. It's like, well, we need a grinder not just for the espresso machine, but we need a grinder for all the coffee that we make in the house. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense. Pulled the trigger on it and went and bought the Smart Grinder Pro as well.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that's it worked out, because I have imagined that if you didn't have that, say, better grinding quality with your improved espresso machine, I don't know if your early experience would have been good enough to kind of keep you going, you know, because those two things go hand in hand.
You're right. I may have not gotten into it as much.
Right. So that's why you and I are both like really pushing forward, because we have the, and this speaks a bit more to the importance of a grinder. So in Beans for Beginners, or in the wrap up, at least, we had said, you know, if you don't have a grinder or don't want a grinder, you can get pre-ground coffee or take whatever coffee beans you're buying and grind them at the store. But it does make a difference, or it can make a difference, mm-hmm. when you have your own and you can grind to a size that's appropriate for what you're doing at home. So,
right.
You've already kind of mentioned what do you feel is better, at least some of the things that you feel are better from this espresso machine, and then your grinder. Any other things that you feel like are better?
In general, just overall, like build quality, but also the fact that this is more of a, I don't want to say dedicated, because they're both really dedicated espresso machines.
Right.
But just everything is built a little more according to the norm, right? So like the portafilter basket gets pressed in and just held by friction, a little ring. Mm. The tamper that came with the machine is a little more, you know, like the common ones we see. Nothing out of this world, nothing great. It does have a much better steam wand, I will say that. It's not as good as yours. you know, the steam one on this machine only has one hole, so it takes a good bit of time to steam the milk. And maybe that's why, maybe I'm getting a good margin of error there, because it's so much lower that I can, you know, I'm not overdoing it. So maybe that's a benefit for me. But other than that, yeah, it just feels better. It's programmable. You can, once you dialed in your shot, you can program how much water for it to dispense when pulling a shot, and it's pretty easy to use.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. So you've been learning some things you kind of touched on already. Is there anything specific that you would highlight that you've learned with this new setup?
Man, so much. You know, everything I know about espresso, I think I've learned with this machine. When I had the previous machine, I thought it was really just, put the finest coffee you can grind in there and then tamp it and go. And then I realized that grind size matters. I don't go to the finest on the grinder. And like you said, bean by bean, or not me by bean, but different coffee beans will require a different grind size. I've also, you know, kind of trying to play with preventing channeling and all those kinds of things, and just kind of how to better tell what a good shot of espresso is. I've pulled some really, really sour shots, and that was terrible.
right.
And pulled some really bitter ones too. And just kind of playing with the temperature. That's another cool feature, right? The temperature is adjustable. So playing with the temperature and and just getting everything dialed in and understanding what I like and what is good for me.
So it sounds like you've probably been making a fair amount of espresso because you've been learning so much. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, it would sound like I've been making a lot, but I guess I've said it before. I've had this machine for over a year now. And that's, I guess, if I was making espresso every day, I think I'd be way farther along if I had a year of experience under my belt. But I don't work from home. And I can't make the noise from an espresso machine before I go to work because I would wake up everyone in the house, like you said. So I actually make espresso pretty much Saturday and Sunday, and that's not every Saturday and Sunday. So I'll at least make espresso once over the weekend. But, you know, like yesterday, for example, we had something else. Or no, yesterday we actually made espresso. And I'm probably going to make some today, but sometimes, you know, on Saturday, we're feeling like Chemex, so we make Chemex instead, and I don't make the espresso. So that's kind of where I am. I would say 1 to 2 times a week.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, maybe not as often as you'd like, but definitely more than your past espresso machine, which was like 20 times.
Right. I would say I probably pulled 3 times as many shots as I pulled in the other machine I had for 7 years.
Yeah, that's good.
If not more, right? At least, 60-something shots, probably more.
Wow, okay. And then I know you've talked about, you know, dialing in and then all these other kind of things that you're working on. Maybe there's a couple of specific things you want to talk about that you're improving right now?
So what I've been improving the most lately is the latte art. You know, I got into it from the get-go. And very quickly, I realized I was using the wrong cups and I had really deep mugs. So I went and bought like nice little latte cups and that helped a lot. But then the pitcher that comes with the machine is not a very good pitcher. It's a little small. So you're just kind of spilling milk pretty early on when you start pouring. Mm-hmm. And then the spout is a little too wide, so you can't get that precision that you would normally get. So at best, I was making some hearts. Which toward the end, my hearts were getting pretty good. But then when I was moving on to the tulips, I just could not get that right. And I was making a mess. I was spilling milk all over the place. And it was a really frustrating experience, especially because when you watch the videos, they make it look so easily. So I was like, okay, maybe this isn't meant for me. Maybe I'm not meant to be good at this. But then I bought the new pitcher, which is slightly bigger. And that actually helps because... it prevents the milk from spilling out of the spout early on. So it allows you to pretty much position yourself a lot better and get that nice pencil or, you know, that nice thin stream of milk going into your coffee. That's given me a lot more control. And it also allows me to get closer to the surface of the espresso once I'm pouring the latte art, which has been helpful. So that has been what I've been learning a lot. I feel like as far as espresso goes, I'm pretty dialed in. There's a few gadgets that I want to try, but I think I'm at a decent spot right now.
Okay. Yeah, interesting that you point out about the additional capability that you get from changing the pitcher. Because some of the things that you've pointed out are things that I'm dealing with now where I'm like not really able to make the art, obviously because of my experience and lack of skill in not practicing this stuff, but at least similarly to what we see in the videos, because you're right, they do make it look pretty easy. And you get the sense that if you watch enough of these like videos that give you the details, you should be close. And I haven't really had that experience yet where I'm like, yeah, I'm happy with this latte heart that I just made. Not that this is, you know, this is just a fun thing we do with our coffee. It's just a thing that keeps us entertained. It doesn't necessarily make a difference. It doesn't necessarily make a difference with how our coffee tastes. So it's just fun.
You know, it was, so, sorry, it was so coincidental. I had just ordered my new milk jug and we were chatting with a friend at work and he shared with us a video from Emily Bryant, who is a latte art champion, world champion. And she was explaining all that really well in her video. And it made sense. It got me even more excited to get my jug because I was like, this is going to be a night and day difference. And it was. I have way more control when pouring now. So,
yeah. Yeah, shout out to that friend of ours who does so much research on just every detail in everything in life, but especially around the coffee, because actually at the same time that Jose bought his espresso machine, this friend also bought his, and he had provided so much information that I think was helpful to both of us, not just around the espresso machine research, but beyond that, right, the making of the latte art and all that stuff. So
yeah,
you know who you are, and I know you're listening because you supposedly listen to these podcasts.
We'll test.
You we'll say see. You do.
We'll try to have him on one of these days. I know he's willing to come on. So
yeah, this friend actually started planning this podcast with us, and he did a lot of the early discussions, kind of thinking about what we would talk about. He had to drop off because he had a kid in the middle of the process, but I'm sure he would love to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about what you're working on to improve, and the next question is supposed to be about your favorite gadget, but I'm guessing it's the pitcher. Would that be accurate?
So I have to say I'm pretty slow to pull the trigger on gadgets when I buy them. So the pitcher is one that I really liked. Sorry, I had been thinking of getting a better pitcher for a few months now, and I just finally got fed up, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'm going to buy it. But also, I bought a tamper distributor from Crema. And that is probably one of my favorite gadgets. The cool thing about the tamper distributor is that it gives you, first of all, it gives you a nice flat bed for you to tamp on. But the second one is that it allows you to preset it to the right depth. So every shot that you pull is going to be pretty consistent because you are tamping with the same force and to the same depth every single time.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I have to give a little shout out to my $10 cheap scale that I bought. That scale has lasted me over a year. So I was telling my wife yesterday, if this scale breaks anytime, I think it was money well spent, then I would just buy another of the same. I know there's some really expensive scales out there, and that would probably be my overrated gadget, right? Going and getting a very expensive scale. At least if you are getting started, don't go drop $200 on a scale. You don't need all that fanciness, right? I can't think of anything else. I don't really have too many other gadgets that I use, but those would be my top two.
Yeah, I think the scale is a good point, or the fact that you don't need a super expensive one. I mean, there's a point where they all do the same thing, right? They all weigh the amount of beans or grinds that you're trying to put in for whatever drink that you're making. So find one that is suitable for your budget and also for your purpose. No reason to go straight into like, oh, this person has whatever scale, so let me go buy that, even though it's really expensive. So
right, there's a point of diminishing returns with everything, right? And that's kind of it with scales. At some point you're just getting more convenience features rather than more precision or accuracy or things like that. So you know, if you go buy one of these $200 scales, they have features like, oh, it automatically starts counting your, or you know, it starts a timer as soon as it detects the shot being poured into the glass, things like that, right? That help with you making coffee and trying to time your shot and weigh at the same time. That scale does it for you. But I don't think that's particularly necessary. And if anybody wants to give me a free one, I am open to changing my mind and trying it. But I don't see myself at this moment going out and buying one. Maybe in the future I will, but at this moment I don't see myself buying one.
Yeah, same here. I have a scale that I use for baking every so often. If I feel like I'm to that point where, you know, that I want to weigh whatever it is that I'm trying to make, then yeah, I'll do that. But that seems to be enough. So, okay. So I think we've gone through most of the questions, and we both covered, you know, our recent journeys, especially with our espresso machines. For any people who are getting started with espresso, do you have any advice you might want to give?
Yeah. So espresso, and one of the reasons why we didn't cover it in Beans for Beginners is because how expensive it can get, right? And not only expensive, but it's like a science experiment all the time and an art at the same time. So I would say don't go and buy the most expensive machine, you know, your money can buy. You might end up disappointed and frustrated if you use it a few times, but still buy something that's high quality, that has good reviews, and something that's going to give you a pretty good coffee making experience, enough to where you're going to want to pull a shot every week instead of, you know, three times a year. So do that, but also do a lot of research as far as watching videos, reading articles, and all that kind of stuff. There is a big support community, and maybe that's a good point for when choosing an espresso machine. Make sure there's good online support from the users, and make sure that, you know, you'll be able to look up videos on how to troubleshoot or how to solve your problem. That way you're not in this journey all by yourself. How are you, Christian? What would you say is an advice you would give someone getting started with espresso?
Yeah, maybe the advice I would give is to first think about why you want an espresso machine. So maybe there's a certain drink that you like that you really enjoy, and you just want to have it in your life more often and probably cheaper than buying it at, say, a coffee shop every day. If that's the case, definitely think about how you can improve that experience. So if you're aiming to, you know, remake that drink, and the espresso machine is the only way to get there, consider that there's other elements like the grind that we talked about that you need to get in addition to it, to really improve how the coffee comes out of the espresso machine. Also, you know, if it's entry level equipment that you're getting, don't be discouraged by kind of some of the stuff that we've said here, that the higher or more expensive equipment can provide better quality coffee sooner. I don't think it's impossible to make good quality coffee or texture milk for latte art with a more entry level machine. You just have to work at it more. So, you know, we talked about how in our previous machines, we only use them every so often, very sparingly compared to how we use our newer machines now. And we didn't really give those machines a chance. And I think you can. I'm pretty sure you can. I've seen people do it on YouTube, right? Using like the ESP8XL to make great latte art or great shots of espresso. So if that's kind of the space that you're working in, and for whatever reason you're not able to like move up to the different levels or higher levels of equipment, then that's okay too, right? Just you said to spend a little bit more time, and maybe in the long run that makes you more capable of really benefiting from these higher level machines if you choose to go that level to that route, or when you get to that point. So maybe that's my advice: is, you know, think about why you want to get one. And then consider what you might need in addition to just the espresso machine. And once you do make that decision and make that purchase, spend some time with it, right? Don't just immediately start thinking, oh, I need this next level to get to whatever this I want to make.
Yeah. Thank you, Christian. So I guess I thought this episode was going to be a short one, but from looking at the time, it seems like we are going to have a very long episode. So I guess we got to start wrapping it up. Christian, anything you want to say before we go?
No, I mean, just like with any of the episodes, and just you and I just hanging out in general talking about coffee, it's always a lot of fun. So I appreciate that, especially with this being November and all the thanks that we should be giving, you know, being grateful. I am grateful that we have this podcast and that we're working it together. I'm grateful for our listeners, of course, which at the moment, it's mostly our friends and family, but grateful for them and their support, and any others out there who are listening and providing their feedback. Also grateful for that.
Yes. I couldn't have said it better myself, so I'm not going to try to say it. But yeah, hopefully this was not only fun, but informative for you. This one is a little bit different than what we've been doing so far, because it's going to be a little more of our natural flow, right? It's not going to be as informative, or not as informative. It's not going to require as much research as it typically does. Join us again in 2 weeks. And we're in the meantime, hopefully you're encouraged to maybe buy an espresso machine. I'm just kidding. Take the espresso machine out of your cabinet and try making espresso again, and seeing if you can get that right shot out of your machine. But in the meantime, keep making coffee, keep trying, keep improving, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.